All right, amen. Now let's take our Bibles this morning. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The book of 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless the preaching of the Word as it goes forth, and more importantly, our listening to the Word of God and applying to our own life what we can learn. For we must give an account one day to you. We want to please you while we're still down here on earth, alive with abilities that you've given us. Help us, Lord, to give all to you of ourselves in every way. Guide and lead our lives. Help us in our decisions that we make. Help us to put you first, always the greatest command, to love you. Bless in the preaching this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, you're going to have to help me this morning. Need some amens. Need a little help here, and we'll get through the preaching and so forth. And, you know, we're living in a special time. It's never been like this down through history. With all of the electronics and technology and everything we have, and all kinds of different Bibles and things, and churches. The problem is that we don't have enough good churches that are faithful to the Bible, and then even churches that even know what the Bible is, using all kinds of strange versions, not the King James and so forth. So we've never lived in this kind of a time, even when we're trying to save our finances or investing our finances, you know, stock market, whatever it may be that you've chosen to do. We've got three things working against us on that as well. First of all, the Biden administration, when you've got the whole White House and everything as liberal as it is and so forth, and all of the foolish decisions and laws that are being made there that they expect us to obey, and mandates and everything else. Then you've got the plague. Everybody wants to call it the virus and everything, you know. But
perfect word.
Yeah. Amen.
Pestilence.
Yes, sir.
In the book.
Yep, that's right. Stick with the Bible. God was the first one to ever bring a plague, and he used it, even as we're reading through the Bible, we see that as well. But anyway, we've got that going on, and it's all about control anyway. That's all that's about, even up in Canada and everything that's going on with the truckers and that, taking control of everything. And then you've got the stock market itself. Any kind of fear, and down she goes, you know. And so, yeah, we're living in a real special time for sure. But there's always one thing that's always the same for a Christian. You can always count on it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're going to live godly as a Christian, you're going to go through persecution. It's one thing that will never change. It's been right from the get-go. When the church started back there in Acts 2 and everything. And it says shall. If you live a godly life, there's a lot of folks, as you already know, that call themselves Christians, and they don't live a godly life, for sure. just chock full of the world and repentance and everything, not part of their life, the humbleness and everything else. But somebody that does live a godly life, as it says in verse 12 there, it uses the word shall. There is no way you can be a Bible-believing Christian and not go through persecution of some type or another, some more than other. So that's why I want to try to help each one of us as I preach a Christian persecution guide that maybe help us along, because you know we're going to face persecution if you try to witness to someone or take your stand in the world and not go along with the world wants you to do and so forth. All of those things are going to be persecution for you and for each one of us. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. Book of Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 27. It says, prepare thy work without, that means outside, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Major word is prepare. And that's what I want to try to preach to you this morning, is how we can prepare to go through the persecution that maybe this week you'll go through. But you know, as you read the book of Revelation and so forth, there's going to be great tribulation coming. Praise God, we're going to be raptured out before that, because God will not allow his bride, Jesus won't allow his bride to go through that tribulation period. I'm going to have to preach on the seven reasons why I know that we're going to be raptured before the tribulation. Well, in case you didn't know it, there's plenty out there that don't think there's going to be any kind of a second coming of the Lord, that he's already here. Yeah, just take a look around, and you see he's not. And some that think that believe in a post tribulation rapture after the tribulation makes no sense at all, and no scripture for it either. But I'm just saying that you'll find these things in churches all around us. We kind of take for granted what some churches believe and not following the Bible at all. I want you to prepare. The Bible says, and that's the book of wisdom, Proverbs. If you're going to be wise, you need to prepare for what's coming. And it's only going to get worse because the world's getting worse. Go to chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30, and in verse 25. It even gives the illustration of an ant. How small and humble it is. Ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. I have a whole list on these different little things, the four things there and so forth, as well. But that's one basic thing that is so important. Preparation in your life. A lot of things wouldn't be a problem to you, whether it's getting to church or anything else, if you prepare for it. Look ahead. See ahead. Foresee the evil and secure yourself against that. God is the one that should be our example, even though God does give other examples all the way through, doesn't he? John 14, anybody know how that works? Not Mrs. Drake, she's always got these answers. John 14. Speak up. He said in verse 3, I go to prepare a place for you. If I prepare a place, I will come again and receive you. That wherever I am, you will be, John 14:3. And so Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, because I'm going to prepare, he said. That's what Jesus is doing now. He's preparing a place. By the way, when I preach on heaven and everything, that's one of the main verses, of course. Understand that he didn't say, I go to prepare a nice thought for you. He didn't say, I go to prepare something that'll make you all good and fuzzy and everything. He said, heaven is a place. I go to prepare a place for you. Yes, hell's a place and heaven's a place. And praise God. 50 years ago, I put my trust in Christ and repented of my sin. So now I know what place I'm going to be in when I close my eyes for the last time. Proverbs 23:5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Everybody knows Psalm 23, do they not? And so there's preparation again mentioned. Ephesians 6:15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yes, we are to prepare as Christians. It's taught throughout the Bible. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. We need to pay more attention to being prepared. There's folks that are even not saved, but they prepare for emergencies and so forth. They're called preppers. And, put aside water and food and all that kind of stuff. I do a little of that just in case you're caught unawares of something. You go down to Walmart and the shelves are bare, you know, what are you going to do? But so you need to prepare anyway, whatever God tells you to do. But especially you need to prepare for persecution. That is going to come worse than you ever thought. This leadership, if you want to call it that, this control over us in the White House and the state and so forth, yes, persecution can get a lot worse. And they'll use every kind of tactic and power that they can against us, especially for checking through the computer. It was said that the IRS and everything, that they have a list of those that refuse to get a vaccine shot. They've got a list, and that they are going ahead and looking for it. Yeah, as well, you know, they're pinpointing Christians and others that won't do it. Persecution is going to be worse down the line, because we know everything is going to get worse, ending up in the tribulation period. If you don't think that's worse, read the book of Revelation again, and you'll see. Three hints I want to throw out to you today, maybe be a blessing to you. And they all start with E. That is, expect, then endure, then enlist. Expect persecution. The lifestyle. Why do they persecute you? Why do they persecute godly Christians? Because our lifestyle is different. They don't understand that. They don't understand what's going on. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar, different than what the norm would be out here in the world. all of the ungodliness and you can see it everywhere. You can see it on TV and broadcast and advertising, and you just can't get away with it from it. It's a wicked world. Back there, James said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Brother, that's 2,000 years ago. How bad is it today? Gotten better? No. Especially got worse for you and I. So expect it so you can prepare. You know, we're supposed to be light. We're supposed to live by faith. We have something to live for. God, Jesus gave us purpose in life once we got saved. We're supposed to be alive, brother, doing something. Going uphill. Amen. Not letting this world drag us down to a dark life and not doing anything for God. We're supposed to be that light that shines in the darkness, and that faith that will overcome anything. You see, we understand them because we've been there, but they don't understand us at all. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. A familiar verse to most of us. First Corinthians 2, verse 13, we'll pick it up. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's how you interpret scripture, my friend. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You see, we understand them, but they do not understand us. They don't understand how the Bible all fits together. They just haven't taken the time, the interest, been brought up right, and had the right kind of parents or anything else, and brought up in a Bible-believing church, all the rest of it. So they can't understand. It's all, things that are mysterious to you. But I'm glad that we get into the book. We see that we can understand, and we can know what the truth is. Even 1 Peter 4:13 says, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Amen. And so, we see in our text, go back to Matthew 5. We'll take that as our base text. The sayings of Jesus and the Beatitudes, he says in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted. So, right from the time of Jesus, of course, right on. For righteousness' sake, you're living a righteous life. For there is the kingdom, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. So here, Jesus also says, expect persecution. That's the first point. Look at verse 11. As we look at this passage. He's talking about lies. They're going to revile you and persecute you. They're going to say bad things against you, evil against you falsely, for my sake. They're going to lie about you. They're going to spread gossip about you. They'll do all this to bring persecution upon godly Christians, reaching out to others, trying to have them saved, and we trying to live a godly life. God knows that none of us are perfect. None of us have sinless perfection, even though some churches teach that. How foolish. But anyway, Paul said, what I want to do, I can't do. I end up doing the other thing. So he has a war, he has a battle going on, and so do we as Christians as well. And then heaped upon us are the unsaved world and our unsaved relatives and all of the connections we have at work and all the rest of it that goes into it. Persecution. We face it every day if you're living a godly life for the Lord. Because we're different. As we said, we're peculiar people. Even Jesus. Why was Jesus crucified?
Take our sin. Save us.
Why was Jesus had to die on that cross? Yes, that's the main reason, but how did he actually get there physically?
Saying he was God.
Pardon me?
Saying he was God.
Mm-hmm. They lied about him. They lied about him. This blasphemer. He's saying he doesn't like Caesar and he's going to rip down the temple and everything out of context. And they brought this before Pilate. And Pilate questioned him. He said, I don't find any fault in this man. What do you want me to do with him? And they screamed out, crucify him. They lied about him. And got it so. Now, this is all in the will of God, but I'm just saying this is the way it happened. That's why he had to go to that cross. Somehow, he had to get there. And sure it was through persecution and lies. Upon the Lord. They were trying to kill him all the time in his life. You remember Nero there that took over Rome after Caesar and all the rest. And Nero burnt down most of Rome. You know what he did? He blamed it on the Christians. Lie. You talk about a politician. Nero. So here the great persecution is coming on all of those believers right after there. 70 AD, Titus the Roman came down, destroyed Jerusalem as well. All of this is going on because of those Christians. Persecution, great persecution, like we've never known yet. But it's coming. Trying to prepare you. Trying to show you what the Word of God says about this. If they could persecute the Lord that we serve, they certainly can persecute us. And they want to persecute us because we serve him. We have the connect right to the Lord Jesus. And Satan hates anything to do with God, hates God, hates God's Son, Jesus Christ, all the rest. Go to John 15. Keep your place in Matthew. Just throw a bulletin in there or something. We'll come back to it. John chapter 15. John 15, call your attention to verse 19. Even Jesus said, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So Jesus makes it very clear all the way down through verse 21. The world has hatred for us. Of course, all of life is based on population. People dying, babies being born, everything else. Boy, if we could get rid of those Christians by killing the babies. Enter abortion. Oh, we're going to plan your parenthood. Oh, you are. It's just an abortion mill. Innocence. That really stirs up the Lord. You read about innocence all the way through the Bible. You have no defense. They're murdered even before they were there. Something like 60 million they've done now. Just keeps on going. Jay Sekulow, the lawyer, Christian lawyer, he's got that before the Supreme Court now. Three different lawsuits going on, trying to overthrow Roe, where that all started in the 60s.
He is a good man.
Yes, he is. Yep, him and his brother. Amen. But the thing is, we know it's going to get worse. So they persecute you in every way, shape, and form. Now, the world won't hate the little baby Jesus. Enter Christmas. All that is the business now. Unless it's us, you know, that we know what it's all about in the celebration of God coming into the world miraculously and taking on a body and so forth. But the world doesn't know that. So anything they can make money off of and everything, oh, they're not going to persecute that and all of that, but. Even some do that too. Go to John 5. We are in that. Go to Philippians 1. The book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. Did you know this is our lot in life, we Christians? To suffer and be persecuted. Yeah. 1 verse 29, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. I said my first point is expect persecution, because he said it shall come for anybody that's living for the Lord Jesus. We see social injustice all the time on Christians, and it's spread everywhere. Doctors, nurses, firemen, it doesn't make any difference. Military, they've kicked guys out of the military. I mean high-ranking officers, because they had a Bible on their desk or something on the wall. A sheriff down in North Carolina. I don't know if you saw that in any religious material. He had Philippians up there as well, you know. I can do all things through Christ and everything. And in his office, and somebody from, an atheist from one of those groups, you know, freedom without religion and all of this kind of stuff. And they tried to sue him and everything else, made the papers, and everybody knows about it now, it seems. But, you got to take your stand. They didn't kick him out, so I don't know if there's lawsuits or whatever going on there. But I'm just saying, it's getting worse and worse, and it will, because the Bible says it will. Go to Mark 13, please. Gospel of Mark. Mark 13, beginning with verse 9. These are the words of Jesus. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils and in the synagogues, and ye shall be beaten. Ye shall be brought before rulers. Now we're up in the high ups, president and Congress and everything else. Brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given unto you in that hour, ye speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. In other words, the end of everything, my friend, we're going to get this persecution more and more. Jesus is prophesying this stuff, just like he prophesied the tribulation period and everything that was going on there. So my first point is expect it. Then you need to endure. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I mean, if God's word is true, it's going to happen. And maybe it already has happened in many of your lives. Some of it's cost you dearly. God knows about that. He said it's coming. I mean, you got the ACLU going against Christians. They always have. I've got a DVD over there on the desk about the ACLU, stuff you've never heard. You need to take that and play it and learn it. Really know what's going on there. It puts on a front just like any other ungodly thing will. But they're against you. Our government's against us. All of the pressure is against the home today. They want to take your kids away from you. You can't raise your kids the way you want, and you can't do this, and somebody's spying on you in the public school system, and on it goes. They're against the parents. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And in verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. And of course, this is talking about when you first got saved and you started separating yourself from your ungodly friends and everything. You're not running with the same crowd because you're now born again. You got the Spirit of God living within you. You got real life in you. But he's worrying about, oh, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Where is it? Show us the kingdom of God. Jesus said, kingdom of God is within you. Amen, amen. We're supposed to live that out, is what it says. And so, right here, what's it say? Don't think it's strange when they speak evil of you. Verse 4. Look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. He's just saying you got to endure. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, I mean, there's no coming, going back, amen. I mean, you're saved. You can't lose your salvation. So are you saved or not? What's going on? So we have to take this seriously and see about persecution, hence the sermon this morning, to try to help us, each one of us, to endure. Amen. And then we need to enlist. Remember I told you, they all started with E. Make everybody happy. We have to expect, we have to endure, and we got to enlist persecution. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 12 in the text I told you to put a bookmark in, Matthew chapter 5, and go to verse 12. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Did Jesus give us some hints on how to go through persecution? He sure did. Expect it. It's coming. And then endure it when you're going through it, and then enlist it. In other words, take it in. Don't let it get you down. Reign in life. Be like a king in your life. Jesus is your king, so act it out. That you're going to be the ruler of your life. Because Jesus said, he's the real ruler. He's the real Lord. But they can't see the Lord. What they can see is your action and reaction. There's three levels in life. I'll start with H. You got a hellish life you can live. People do. Then you got a human life they live, and then you got a heavenly life you can live. You got to make one of those choices. Anybody that's alive and lives a life. The first one, the hellish life, it tells you when somebody does good, you return evil for it. They don't like people doing good. They return evil. Or just a human life. You reward good for good. Just common sense. But then you have a heavenly life. Guess what that is? You return good for evil. That's a hard one. But that's what Jesus told us to do, didn't he? Go to Matthew chapter 5, right there where we are in our text, and go to verse 43. Matthew 5:43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute you. Jesus gives us what we're supposed to be doing in our Christian life. There's always going to be those people that live a hellish life. There's going to be those that just live a nice, good life, just a human life. But there's Christians are to live a heavenly life. We don't rely on our human morality. We rely in the morality we get from God. It's laid down in the Word of God. What we should do, what we shouldn't do. Our action and reactions to things that go on in our life. So, because of these three levels, everybody got them? Hellish. Down here. Hellish. Human. Heavenly. You're a Christian, you're living this heavenly life. Oh, that hurt me, I'm going to get even. Where do you got to go? You got to go down to get even. So Jesus said, love those that persecute you, so forth. Don't stoop to it, Christian. Just a couple more verses, we'll be done. Acts chapter 5. Book of Acts chapter 5. In verse 41, here's the first Christians. Says in verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were rejoicing because they had to suffer, but they were suffering for Jesus. So what did they do when they let them go? And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's an overcoming life, brother. That's Christian life. They expected it to come. They endured it. And then they enlisted it in their own life that they would overcome that. That's why the Bible talks about overcomers in the Bible. They rejoiced when they suffered. Now, you understand, this is just words coming from a pulpit. But it's a different thing when it's in your life and you got to live that. We got to get a hold of our control of our emotions and thoughts and watch the bitterness and everything else that can whelm up because of things that come into our life, and especially when wicked people and wicked governments and everything else start coming down our street. I'll close with one example, and that's in Acts chapter 7. You're right in Acts 7. The book of Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Who is this? This is Stephen. He's a deacon. in the first church. And he's out preaching. And part of his preaching, he ends it up like this. He must have been a fundamental Baptist, I'll guarantee you. He said in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, and so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the Just One." He told you about Jesus. "Of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth." Boy, you talk about conviction. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." The first martyr. Because they were going to keep on. They killed James. So forth. I'm looking forward to shaking hands or hugging Stephen. Boy, he was a man's man. He was a preacher's preacher. Amen. He didn't hold back one whit. Did you know that the word martyr and witness in the Greek come from the same root word? Martyr and witness. He was witnessing for the Lord. Became a martyr. You live for God and you shall suffer persecution. It says he saw Jesus in his last seconds standing on the right hand of God. My Bible told me that when, in Hebrews especially, that the Son of God, Jesus, he was seated at the right hand of God. When Jesus saw what was going on, he stood up. Sign of respect and love. Looked down at Stephen. He wasn't going to go out of this life with bitterness in his heart. He was going to do like Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them. But they do not. They don't know what they're doing. And he did the same thing. Lay not this to their charge, Lord. Did I tell you earlier in the message, they don't understand? The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Word of God, the spiritual things. You got your choice. You can live a hellish life or just a good old boy life, a human life, or you can live a heavenly life. But for sure, you live the heavenly life. You live for Jesus. You live godly. And you shall suffer persecution. Don't think you'll escape it. It's just getting worse and worse, folks. That's why we love one another. That's why we come together. That's why, as the body of Christ, we stand together, shoulder to shoulder, praising God, learning more about our wonderful God, our Savior, and living for Him. May this have been a blessing to you of how to handle persecution. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Stephen. Thank you for the Lord. All of these things that we have been brought to our attention today. I pray, Lord, that we might get a time when we can be quiet and meditate on these things. Prepare ourselves. You prepared things for us. You've told us to prepare as wise people. Help us not to be fools. Help us to prepare. Thank you, Lord, that the things of this old earth is not going to mean anything. One of these days won't even be counted worthy to what you have in store for us. Thank you for your love and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you.